morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 13th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County First District Supervisor Rex Bone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I stumbled on a picture of Jimmy last week. It was in your chair, your microphone.
I've got one behind my desk. I have a picture of an 8x10 picture of Jimmy Smith, and I've got an 8x10 picture of Chris Crawford.
Yeah, but Jimmy was at your desk.
Yeah,
He taking a picture?
Yeah.
Was a picture taken in your office?
Oh, with it
behind your desk?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You saw? Okay, yeah.
Every once in a while, it's good to remember where you came
I get
from.
To have conversations with Jackie, and she emails me or texts me every once in a while. And I mean, it's just.
Well, I've heard you have conversations with Jimmy, too.
People
walking up and down the hall hear you talking.
I used to have a little piece of paper that said, you know, WWJ, what would Jimmy do?
Yeah, exactly.
Special man. I think we were all pretty lucky to know him. I would, like I said, the day I got sworn in, I'd love to do half the job that he did.
Well, we'll worry about that, which half.
Yeah.
You found your quote there, buddy.
I got my quote. Poverty is not the absence of goods, but rather the overabundance of desire. That's brought to us by Plato. Not Pluto, but Plato.
Gee, you mean it's been around longer than just the baby boom generation?
There you go. Jeez, there you go.
What are some of the challenges?
That is, you know, something you do bring up. It's Plato, and they're still talking about people, the wants and needs of people wanting more than they actually need and not settling.
You can go back, Cicero, I mean, a bunch of the guys just before Christ.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe wrapped a little bit differently now.
Yeah.
And presented a little bit differently, but the basic essence of everything.
You can chrome it now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, greed is greed, and desire is desire, and power is, you know, power and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that you see in the position that you're in? Temptation's got to be one. Either to believe what people say about you or to you. Or to believe your headlines. But what do you see as...
I don't get too many positive headlines, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, well, you know. I mean, you know, the RCRC stuff. Just the various things when people are calling, and now they're calling you because they have a title, because you have a title. I mean, what do you have to check off on?
Well, what's really neat is when somebody does call and you can actually do something. But the stuff that you can get done, and we've talked about this before, fairly quickly, are road issues, minor issues. It seems like everything else, permitting and everything else, is so elongated. But we've got something coming up in front of the Board of Supervisors here that a local guy's been working on for about a year. And I just texted him the other day and said, boy, that didn't take too long, did it? Because we thought it'd be pretty simple. And it was fairly simple. It even takes a long time to do simple things. And the reason is because of our system. If you make a mistake, you get sued. And so everybody's so worried about the checks and balances of making sure everything's so right, they make it too right and make it unflexible. And that tends to stop most of our development. It gets to stop most everything. Not even development. I mean, it stops everything from progressing because you're so worried about the guidelines that you have to follow. And we're one of the few states that have that problem.
So if there's a lot of focus on local, is that at the cost of regional?
A little bit, because, I mean, we're all tied at the hip. I mean, perfect case in point is Last Chance Grade. I mean, Last Chance Grade, everybody goes, that's in Del Norte County. And I says, yeah, but, you know, but that's part of our lifeblood.
Confusion Hill slide was Mendocino County.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect case in point. I mean, it
the
shuts
fires
off.
Fires on 299.
It shuts our flow of goods, people. I mean, you take a look at some of the places like Trinity Lake and over the fires. I mean, they have that one last weekend, and you got to understand, those businesses over there have about 5 months to make 12 months worth of business, and then when you take out a 2 or 3 week stretch of it in 3 days when they're, you know, they go balls to the wall over there and they're just swamped and they get nothing with the road closures and people going, I'm not going to go over there and fight that smoke and everything else. It gets to be a tough time.
That's one of the things that I've learned to appreciate secondhand, well, first and secondhand, with the fires up north, the Checo Bar. You know, we visit, we've certainly got the business concerns and the community concerns, but we're not having to live it 24 hours a day.
Well, and
even just being around for a couple of days at a stretch becomes very fatiguing. Yeah, I can't imagine.
You're up there because you have interests up there and stuff. Yeah. But the Chetco Bar Fire, people call Chetco Bar, no, we don't talk about it very much. We hear little bits of it. It's the number one fire priority in the United States.
Well, and the smoke in the sky is not Crescent City, and it's
no.
not
and you know, it's Ruth, just
it's that.
And things are, we have to manage our forests better. I have great hope for Merv George because I think he gets it. But we, you know, we never had forest fires this bad when we used to work our forests. And, you know, we used to have, you know, 200 trees per acre. And now we got 300, 350 trees per acre. And the vegetation's overgrown. And the other thing is, with that many trees on in the watersheds, the water never gets to the watershed. I mean, it's sucked up for the trees. We have unhealthy trees. And we're seeing these trees explode. And it's one of the biggest issues. And the other thing is, and I've seen him talk about this on the national level, we're going to have to start looking at forest fires like we look at hurricanes and floods, because we can't take all the Forest Service budget to fight a forest fire and more than their budget where they have to borrow it, and now they have no money to manage their lands. We tend to think it's a great idea to let the government take over a piece of property, let them manage it, let them do anything else. And it's usually not as good as the private person takes care of it. I mean,
Billy Gillespie was on last Friday, and he was talking about, you know, in the old days when you actually had harvesting going on, whether it was salvage or whether it was vertical, you had logging roads to everywhere. So if you had a fire,
you had access.
A road.
Well, and the other thing is you had access. And the other thing, I'm old enough to remember that because I worked on quite a few forest fires. You also could turn to the guy that was logging 2 miles down the road and says, hey, we need to get on this. So you didn't wait 4 hours for a piece of equipment. You didn't wait. You didn't have to wait for somebody to react. You didn't have to contract with who was next in line. You just told that guy to go put her out. I mean, I've got a copy of forest rules from 1959. It's like 27 pages now. It's 900, but 27 pages, California Forest. And 16 of it is what you're supposed to do when there's a forest fire and how you're supposed to help them put the fire out.
Yeah, boy, if it wasn't that simplistic now. Things obviously changed. And then the other thing that Chief Bill had pointed out was they're pulling roads out. It's not that they're not being maintained. They're being pulled out, too, so you can't get in there.
Decommissioning.
Yeah, it's 819.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, with the forest practices that are going on, there's an awful lot of discussion north of the state line about what the heck. You know, it started at Chetco Bar as a quarter-acre fire. Okay. Wilderness, let it burn. Okay. Let it burn isn't necessarily a good style of practice if you're looking to manage something and you realize that there are people.
That's the way it was managed for a few hundred years before we got scientists involved, though.
Yeah, exactly. So when you look at our area, you know, and certainly redwood groves burn differently and not nearly as quickly. Okay, we haven't had a biscuit fire. We haven't had a megrim fire. We haven't had whatever they call the one down in Lake County because redwood trees are different.
Yeah.
And ferns are different. However, doesn't mean it couldn't happen. You know, we had the one down at Salmon Creek that Estelle got to play with. Things can still happen. Is this the time for the counties, maybe even for our elected state and national guys here in California, to partner with our elected folks in Oregon and come together with something that makes allowances for managing, makes allowances for lightning fires, so that you get involved with this stuff and you knock it down before it starts to attack businesses, homes, communities, etc.
It seems to me there should be a way, rather than just throwing money at it, to put these things out. It seems to me we could be a little more preemptive. There's guys that...
Well, they don't have enough money to throw at it.
No. But and I can understand letting the wilderness burn. We can't get in there. You know, it puts too many people in harm's way. You can't put people in wilderness when it's 110 degrees and expect them to fight fire with, you know, these kind of fires. Because, I mean, one wind shift and they can run over you in a heartbeat. So I understand all that. But is there a way we can stop the opportunities? Now, lightning-based fires, I mean, that's God's given right to tell us, hey, I'm in charge here, so.
You know, there's lots of different ways to attack it. The thing that I'm as curious about now is, okay, you got this let it burn policy and it's in place, and now you got the double scorched over a number of these areas. Now we get our rains that we had last winter. Now you want to talk about some environmental degradation?
You want to talk sediment and river?
Let's talk here. Yeah. Let's talk about the fishies. Let's talk about the birds. Let's talk about what's going to happen. Let's talk about flooding.
Yeah.
All these things these folks have been trying to take out are going to come back in spades now because of their philosophy.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm a little torqued because this is kind of where I see the county supervisors or county commissioners, depending on what state you're in, really have the opportunity to step up and really make some positive impact for our areas. Do you sense that there's a will with your four cohorts to step up, or talking to the guys up north or the guys down south or the guys east, that this is the time?
This is probably one of the biggest issues we face at RCRC, more so than CSAC, because, you know, even though we all belong, I mean, LA County is having a huge fire, so I can't say that. You know, even these big, large urban counties.
Yeah, but it's not downtown.
But yeah. But the problem is these fires are reaching the downtown areas. I mean, we were looking at Junction City being evacuated. We were looking, I mean, at one time, I think the Weaverville fire had 2,000 people evacuated was the number I heard, you know, on the radio and stuff like that. They've only got 13,500 people in the whole damn county.
Right.
So you take away Hayfork and that end, and downtown Weaverville proper and everything else, and you're going,
yeah, Trinity Village.
That's a damn big fire.
Yeah.
You know, and can't we do something better? I mean, we've lost 75 homes out there, and I can guarantee you half of those homes aren't insured, because when you get out in those rural areas and you don't have, there's no fire coverage, you can't get insurance for anything reasonable.
Yeah, it's not an option.
So it just becomes an issue with these people, and they just, you know, they don't, you know. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal, and it's not becoming becoming the norm rather than the abnorm.
So if we use this as an example of acceptance, I guess we could say a lack of forward thinking. How quick do you think we can jump on this? I know the public pressure thing that we can do, but as far as actually getting something, could a Humboldt County, a Curry County, a Del Norte County, could we change U.S. Forest practice?
Oh, I think the U.S. Forest Service and Cal Fire need to sit down and have a joint, you know, come to Jesus meeting and saying, what are we doing wrong? How instead of putting all our people in harm's way.
The only time that's going to happen is if one of those guys
lights a fire underneath them and goes to
a... Or there's public pressure from somebody up the ladder. Well, there's not too many up the ladder.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Jerry Brown really cares too much about fire burning in Northern California.
No.
Not too much. And at the federal level,
there's no crazy train involved.
Yeah. I mean, and he doesn't have a house here or a cabin here or a family here.
Yeah.
So he's not having to experience it, and it's really easy not to be connected if you're not there. But there's got to be some urgency on this thing because it's going to take years to get it in place anyway.
Oh, granted. And I said, and with this conversation and with what RCRC is doing and other people are doing, I think this is going to be a huge deal because, I mean, in Tuolumne County, you know, the Rim Fire, that was 288,000 acres. That went into your national park. That closed down a whole section of that county. That was devastating financially. Business lost, besides, you know, besides loss of property and everything else. 288,000 acres.
Well, the Biscuit Fire was 500,000.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at some of the numbers are just almost incomprehensible for you know, guys like us that have a tough time counting to 10.
Same, well, for us that live on a 70 by 110 foot lot.
Yeah, even more so. Yeah. In an area where there are fire trucks going by regularly.
I can throw your address out here in a minute.
Yeah. Hot dogs. It just is frustrating. It has to get to this point before somebody starts looking hard at it. I guess that's probably the simplest.
Well, that's, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk Shop's presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Rex, if we kind of move off the fire thing a little bit, you know, hopefully we don't have to be talking about this one next time you're around. One of the things that a lot of folks look in at government and saying, you know, if you guys could only blank.
Yeah.
Is
fix everything.
Well, no, contract out. You know, prevailing wage is so high. It certainly is in our area. You look at some of the different areas. Well, if it wasn't government doing it, the private sector, boy, we could save so much money or get so much more done with the same dollars invested. There's got to be a real strong upstream current that people are swimming against because it just seems so logical to be able to do that kind of stuff.
And we do a lot of that. We contract a lot of services out, especially mental health and through the DHHS, you know, because we don't have that class of people. With that, there's a
professional.
The professional end of it that we can do. And you also have to understand people say, well, if you do it that way, you don't own them on the state comp. You don't own them if they get hurt. You don't own their retirement. Somebody else owns that. You pay for it.
And particularly
up front,
with the retirement cost, as goofy as they are and such a huge percentage as they are. Yeah, I mean, there certainly is a viable thought there.
Yeah, and just as you try to do that more and make so government, because, you know, there is a faction out there that thinks big government is good.
Oh, certainly. And certain applications.
And there's a certain
military?
Yeah, and there's a certain application out there that thinks no government is good, but that's an extreme. But I think a limited government to provide services that are needed and can be provided and handled, you know, for one-stop shopping, I think is, you know, permitting, DMV, things like that, you know.
And the other thing is, you know, if you hire me to do task-specific, task is done, I go away.
Yes.
You're not having to try to find something else for me to do because now I'm on staff.
Yeah, it's and as
that
we
flexibility.
Talk about, there's a brought by an assemblyman out of Los Angeles. There's a bill going through the assembly right now, AB 1250. It's not a bad bill, but it's a death wish for rural counties because we don't have, you know, we're a big rural county, but there's counties out there that have. I.e. Weaverville, 13,000 people, Alpine, 998, you know, Lassen, all of these smaller counties, they don't have a lot of these professional people. So when they need somebody for a couple months or something designed, they contract it out. Well, AB 1250 is going to make you have to prove that you need to do that and you can't hire somebody to do that. And it's not going to cost an employee a job and you can do it within house. And the problem being with that is just that. Some of these smaller counties don't need a senior analyst on whatever the case may be all the time. They can contract that out. The other thing is we contract out with a lot of nonprofits. that, you know, we contract with Betty Chin. We contract with Reed. I mean, we contract with a lot of people to provide services so we don't have to have the staff or supervise the staff. We can just give them a list of things that we need to be done. You know, what? Here's your task. We will. Here's what we'd like you to do. Report back with us in 2 weeks, and you know, and have progress reports and see how it's going, so we know we're getting our bang for the buck, and that's it.
Well, I would imagine if somebody like Alpine County has to put together a report to justify that they don't have people to do the project, well, that's taking away from them in their small staff.
I imagine they're going to have
to be able to do something else.
They're probably going to have to hire somebody to do the report.
Exactly.
But they have to fire somebody. It's just a tough deal, and I understand where they're coming at, and because they want to protect the county employees, which, I mean, the nice thing about it, we have 2,100 or so great employees. We've got good employees, and we have I'm not as amazed as I used to be a few years ago going, we do that? You know, it just absolutely amazed me, and now I've got a pretty good understanding of it. Excuse me. But
so as you look at tight budget, and the budget's not going to get any better.
No.
You need to have some flexibilities because the cost model is going to go up. I mean, healthcare, we got, I think anybody and everybody has got notice about, okay, the Obama next year.
Yeah.
You know, it's going up. Well, that's not going to come just because it's going to take money from somewhere.
Hiring certain jobs out, too, on something that needs to be done, the fluidity of getting it done is expedited. You can just go to, you know, Consultants Are Us and have them working for you in 2 weeks. Hiring somebody, by the time you do backgrounds or do, you know, check them out and everything else and do their medical and do their, to get them on, it takes some time.
Yeah, so if you got a short-term project or an immediate need, you're really kind of betwixt and between. Is this piece of legislation, does it have any momentum behind it?
It's got some pretty good legs. I talked with Senator McGuire about it last week, and he's got some real reservations.
Enough not to vote for it?
I certainly hope so. I get that feeling. It is a union-based. It's a union-based. That the headline says it's union-based. So
you don't have to think too hard about this one,
yeah,
then, huh?
It's hard for them to turn their backs on those unions because they are very powerful.
But nonetheless, if it's going to cripple your county, it's really tough to vote for.
It's four
of your five counties.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. Rex is going to go get some water, and we'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, the rural counties, do we tend to have, or small counties, I mean, whatever you want to call it, you know, the last 30%, is there flexibility built in? Are there caveats allowed for because some of the stuff, the state requirements, can't be done? Just financially, with whatever resource, you may not have enough staff, you may be too far away, it may not be applicable. All those various things that, you know, they feel good and smell good at Sacramento County and L.A. County and Orange County, but MODOC?
Well, some of those counties, they don't have the issues. They don't. I mean, because they're so small, they don't have the issues.
Or they're not
at
the coast.
Scale.
They don't
yeah,
have that.
Yeah, yeah. So that in itself, in a smaller county, helps out. But you know, case in point, Trinity County. You know, we share an ag commissioner. We don't. It's our ag commissioner. We're letting him work over there. One day every 2 weeks or, you know, and stuff. And our child welfare, Lisa Dugan, Child Protective Services, we share that because they're so small. It's hard for them to, you know.
So there's some recognition.
And there's a bill that just passed on assessment appeals where counties can join together and have an assessment appeals board for three counties, for smaller counties, because it's hard to get a crew together. Doesn't know. You got to understand, when you do something like that in a county of 3,000 people, when the guy comes in on an assessment of appeals, it's hard not to get his brother and his brother-in-law up there on the appeals board, you know.
Just imagine trying to seat a jury.
Yeah, no. That's you find a lot of that. So I mean,
so there is some recognition somewhere.
There's some understanding. There's some understanding of on that.
Yeah, it just I guess it really does point out we're at the end of the dog on a lot of things, and the big counties are telling, mm-hmm. and we struggle. But on the other hand, we're not really at the tip of the tail.
No, we're...
There's a bunch of other counties that are even smaller and tinier and have less.
I want to say we're the 58 counties, and I think we're the 27th largest or 28th.
So kind of right,
largest.
Just right there at the forefront.
We're kind of right in the middle. But then you go to LA County, and they've got... You got 10,400 people. I mean, 10,400,000 people. So each supervisor represents a little over 2.5 million people and has a staff of 25 people
to reflect that
with offices to show off for that. And you know, our five supervisors share 3 people in our office. So
well, don't forget the lemonade machine too.
And the lemonade machine, yeah. But I mean, yeah,
so,
I mean,
so as you're looking at some of this. These challenges today and tomorrow, I mean, certainly it's not going to disappear down the road. How does a small county, not financially, but structurally, keep the door open? Or do you see a possibility down the road of combining big land mass, but combining, let's say, a Humboldt and Trinity County, just combined, you know, like the old Klamath County?
Well, and
just do it, and that's that's what we got.
I could see that because you know we you know Del Norte's got 25, you know, Trinity's got 14. We do suffer a lot of the same issues. We got coastline, except for Trinity. We've got forests. We've got national. You know, Trinity counties,
rivers, lakes, streams. You know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, and even if we combine
rivers,
them all
ranches,
at 100,
rivers, ranches, roads, and reservations, we all have the 4 R's.
Yeah, at 100, we'd still be under 200,000 for the county.
Well,
I mean, it's
under,
not like that would
well
suddenly
under.
Make it a big deal.
No,
it just kind of seems, you know, particularly as you've got the buildings and the maintenance and the ADA and all that kind of stuff that's out there. Also, something's going to have to give down the road.
It's just, but then the biggest problem is you add the road infrastructure and the square miles of getting to all those corners too. So
you might need to have the airplane.
Yeah, it gets to be a huge issue. And I don't know sometimes how the budget of these small counties that are 80-90% public lands get by, because I mean it's tight. It's tight.
Well, they still got law enforcement issues also that they
extreme.
Have to
some of the smaller counties have extreme law enforcement issues.
Well, have fun. Keeping it together, man.
We got it.
Go out and get well, okay?
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.